Yes, we have been walking along with Jesus in his final steps during that most important week of our lives, the very first Holy Week. And tonight, those final steps of our Lord Jesus take us to a fig tree. Listen to this. Mark chapter 11, beginning with verse 12. The next day, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to find out if it had any fruit. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves, because it was not the season for figs. Then he said to the tree, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples heard him say it. In the morning, so this would be Tuesday now of Holy Week, in the morning as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered. Have faith in God," Jesus answered. "Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Go throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins." Well, our first reaction to that word of God tonight might be that poor fig tree. What did it do? Was Jesus just letting out all of his Holy Week stress on that poor fig tree? Well, no. Even though that's probably what we would have done. But Jesus Christ is the perfect, the Almighty Son of God. And he doesn't overreact. He doesn't boil over in rage and frustration for no reason. He doesn't nuke trees or anything else in nature, for that matter, because he's having a bad day. But he does love us, and he teaches us, and he guides us with every word that he shares with us. And everything that he does for us. You know how Jesus taught the people by parables? More than once you'll read that in the Gospels, that Jesus hardly ever taught the people except by parable. Well, this is a parable, really. It's just that it's a 3D parable. It's a visual parable. It's an object lesson. It's a children's sermon. And there's a couple of major points that Jesus wants to make, I think, by this object lesson. What is he teaching his disciples back then and still to us tonight? Well, like with any other parable, you sort of have to know some details of what Jesus is talking about. Remember a couple weeks ago in church on Sunday and Saturday night, Pastor Hein was teaching on the parable of the weeds among the wheat, and it helps to know exactly what kind of weeds Jesus was talking about, that they looked like wheat. Well, it helps when we know just a little bit about a Mediterranean Palestine fig tree. We're talking orchard size. So 10, 15 feet high, maybe. Figs were, still are, an incredible cash crop for the people in that part of the world. And a fig tree, a healthy fig tree, can produce 2 or 3 crops a year. Those trees lose their leaves in December, and they just start to bud again in late March, early April, maybe a couple weeks from now. So here Jesus is, and I think it's safe to say that this was the first or second week of what we would call April in about 33 AD. And there he is walking along Monday evening of Holy Week, and he sees a completely leafed out fig tree, and he's hungry. And he goes to that fig tree, expecting to find figs, because it's leafed out. And what he finds is a fully leafed out, figless fig tree. The tree was a faker. It was all show and no go. It was all sizzle and no steak. It was all leaf and no figs. And so Jesus wanted to teach how God feels about unfruitfulness, about hypocrisy, about showing a certain something to the world, but on the inside, there's no fruit. This was the kind of hypocrisy that Jesus confronted many times during his ministry. And you know that often that had to do with the religious leaders of the day. And even on this day, this Tuesday of Holy Week, that's about all Jesus did on that busy Tuesday. You can read chapter after chapter in the Gospels of Jesus just having discussions and debates and arguments, really, with a bunch of leafed out, figless fig trees, the religious leaders of the day, who had lots of pious sounding words to share with others and lots of pious sounding or looking deeds to show to others, but their hearts were barren. Their hearts bore no fruit for the one true God. And here's why: because their hearts did not trust in the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And when Peter articulated what all of the other disciples were thinking, when in less than 24 hours, what seemed to be a perfectly healthy fig tree was withered from the root. Remember what he said? He said, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered." Well, you know that at that moment, the disciples had learned something very important about unfruitfulness. Jesus doesn't like it, and he won't stand for it. How do we feel about it? Do we know how dangerous unfruitfulness is to our spiritual root system? Do we know the danger to our spiritual root system it is when you become complacent in your faith? When we presume upon God's grace. And we confuse God's grace with a license to sin. And we confuse a pious-looking facade with something that God really wants, which is a humble heart that fully leans on Jesus Christ and seeks to demonstrate that trust in Jesus Christ by producing fruit. Fruit in our words that we share with one another. Fruit in our deeds toward one another, loving our neighbor as ourself. Fruit in a lifestyle that we live that is always reflecting on how we feel about our God and how we feel about each other as gifts from God. You know, this object lesson that Jesus taught in such a dramatic way reminds me of the way the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 would really beg us from Scripture with these words. He said, "As fellow workers, we urge you, do not receive God's grace in vain. Look, now is the right time. Look, now is the day of salvation." Let's learn from this withered fig tree. Lesson number one: receive every day that you get from God as a day of His grace, a day closer to your salvation, and then let our thankfulness show. Let it show obviously with the fruit we produce, all to the glory of God and to the love of our neighbor. Now, there was another lesson, I think, that Jesus was teaching here. Not I think, I know, because he talks about it. He actually articulates the lesson in verses 22 through 24. He says this: "Have faith in God. Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Go throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours." So lesson number two from the withered fig tree is prayer works. Prayer is powerful. Prayer moves mountains. Jesus wanted his disciples back then and his disciples today to know that from that withered fig tree. Do we know it? Do we believe it? Or do we say, "But Lord, what about all the mountains that never moved when I prayed?" James, the Lord's brother, some 30 years after Jesus had this object lesson on prayer, he would write in his epistle, "The prayer of a righteous person is able to do much because it is effective." But I wonder if we have our doubts. What am I to think when my prayers do not remove my mother's cancer? When prayers do not save a marriage? When prayers do not stop the fighting in the family, or the violence in the neighborhood, or the crime in the community? If prayer can move mountains, why aren't my problems, my struggles, my hardships, my pain removed? You're in good company if you're asking that question. The Apostle Paul once did. Faced with some kind of debilitating physical illness, hardship, challenge. I don't know what it was. He called it his thorn in the flesh, and he thought for sure, this is going to keep me from being the apostle that God wants me to be. So, Lord, take it away. 3 times I pray, take it away. And God did not. The mountains were never moved until God moved the one mountain that was keeping Paul from seeing, that was blocking Paul's vision from seeing that Jesus had him exactly the way he wanted him. And so the answer to his prayer was this: my grace is sufficient for you because my power is made perfect in weakness. God's answer to that man's struggle was not to remove the struggle, but it was to remove that which was keeping him from seeing that he had God's grace in his life in an all-sufficient manner. And so ultimately, what did Paul do? He said, now I'm going to boast about this. I will boast in my weakness. God's power is made perfect in my weakness, and we can boast in our weaknesses when God removes that mountain for us to see that we are sheltered in the power of Christ. Now, if I could literally move a mountain with my prayers, you know, just slide Mount Everest over like 10 feet, that would be a viral video. How many followers would I have on that TikTok thing, you know, that all the kids are looking at? But it seems to me that would kind of be all for show, you know? It would kind of be like, oh, I don't know, a super spectacular leafed out fig tree with no figs. And isn't that Jesus's point tonight about prayer? Once he grabs the attention of these disciples by talking about prayers that move mountains, once he grabs the attention of disciples who needed their attention to be grabbed because they were often arguing about things like which of us is going to be greatest in the kingdom of God. Once he grabs our attention, then he drops it. He drops the most important power of prayer for us. And it's in that very last verse. When you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. The forgiveness of sins. For you, for me, for others, from others, from us, through Jesus, that needs to be at the top of our prayer list. And that's the real miracle power of prayer. And this is why our dear Jesus took those final steps. to a fig tree, and then a few days later to a hill called Golgotha, to a middle cross on that hill, to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Thank you, Jesus, for moving that mountain. Amen.
This message was a production of St. Marcus Lutheran Church. For similar content, subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, or our YouTube channel. For more information about how to support our urban gospel ministry in Milwaukee, please visit stmarcus.org.